on what God has. And, you know, he wants us to understand life, who he is and what he has. And so, you know, he made a way for us. And it's amazing that he tells us to learn of him. And in our learning process, we grow. We know that, you know, I mean, one of these days we're going to talk about being born again. What happens when you're born again? You got a baby. Babies make messes, dirty their pants, do all kinds of stuff, but they grow. And that's what we're to do. We're to grow in the things of God. We're to grow up and mature so that we can go on and press on into things. And how we do that is learning to listen to the Lord. God has a good direction. He has a purpose. He saved us for a reason. We've been born for a reason. You know, the Lord, before we were ever born, God knew us. He knew the days that were ordained for us. And, you know, so he's so much wiser than anything we could ever think of or come up with. And to submit to some of those things is really, really an important thing. There isn't, you know, we do not know better than God. And so, you know, when it talks about, like he said, our will and our mind and what God wants to do, he wants to transform us into the image. And he wants us to have an eternity that's close in his presence. Father, we just pray for this night. Pray, God, that your word would be delivered in a fashion that the Holy Spirit would encourage us, strengthen us. God, help us move on. Lord, let the Holy Spirit convict us, but also to know, God, that you don't leave us where we are. God, that you bring us to a higher place. And Lord, we want to learn what it is to surrender. And so, Father, teach us. God, teach us your ways, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Corey put something online. He always, you know, we never keep a bunch of things. You know, we got a few messages on a phone and some of that, but they're always saying, well, what's the title? Well, I don't know. Title's Jesus. You know, one of these days we're going to get up here and we're going to preach a full message, and all we are is going to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that's it. I mean, that is, what do you need, Jesus? Who's going to give you what you need? Jesus. Who are you going to call? Jesus. You know, when you get close to him, then it's really good. But, you know, he begins to teach us some things. And, you know, we said about hearing, you know, about just talking about faith. But, you know, the real thing is that there's a big difference between those who hear and those who respond. See, God says, he says, my sheep hear my voice. And we do. You know, I don't know about you. I'm going to tell you a few stories today, but we hear his voice, but we don't always respond. And so God wants us to be able to hear his voice, and then he's asking us to act upon it, to take a step of faith. Even if it's a hard step, he wants us to take a step. He didn't say that we got to get to the end of where we're trying to go. He just said, take an initial step, and he'll meet us there. You know, I don't know, it's kind of like, you know, we had a guy one time, he came and he's standing outside. Not this church, but a different one we started. He said, I ain't never been in a church. Well, there ain't nothing like today. Come on. What you afraid of? Well, I don't know. He said, you know, I mean, it's like the unknown, you know. So he's standing outside saying, I've never been in a church. Well, Jesus is saying, come on in, you know, take a step. And I'll tell you what, he took a step into the church, and it's hard to get rid of him. You know what I mean? Jody there, man, he took a step into the church, and he's here every time he can. Praise God. And we're not trying to get rid of you, Jody. Praise God. But, you know, God's got something for us every time, and he wants us to be able to respond to him. And it's really important that, you know, there's a difference between hearing and responding in faith. And so, you know, those who respond in faith, you know, they're hearing God with their spirit. You know, they're letting God's word get into their spirit, man. You know, I don't know about you, but faith kept in custody in your mind ain't going anywhere. You know, like we said, we passed out these tracts. missing heaven by 18 inches. A guy freaks out on me and just, he's almost cursing you out. How can you be so ridiculous? How can anybody come so close and not get there? He's just going off on me, swearing, calling me, you know, all kinds of names. And I said, open it up. All you do is look at the front page, and he's ready to rip it up and punch you in the face. You know, I'm getting all excited. I said, open it up. And what it said is it had a little, he said, that's the distance between your head and your heart, 18 inches. And so a lot of times, you know, a lot of what we're doing, there's something here, but it ain't got here. Only God can really get in here. You know, God wants to write laws on the tablets of our hearts and on our mind. And he wants to fill us with things that we cannot do on our own. He said, what you cannot do, I've already done. Yes. But what he's saying is he says, believe me, trust in me. That didn't mean you got to do everything. That means you got to learn to try to just trust God. And again, those little steps of faith are so, so important. And so hearing and responding in faith. You know, I don't know about you, but Psalms 119, it's the longest psalm, we know that. But it's a precious psalms. And in that psalms, it has so much advice. You know, you think about it, just even that 105 or what are some of these talk about how his word is a lamp. It's a light. It's a lamp onto my feet. It lights the path. It shows you how to get somewhere safely without stumbling or missing out. It shows you the path. God's word definitely shows you how to get to where you're going. And it begins to light it up. And not only that, as you begin to read, there's so many different things in that. I want to look at Psalms 119 and verses 151 and 152. I'm going to read this in a little different translation than what he's got up here, but that's okay. You can follow right along there. It says in 151, it says, yet you are near, Lord, and all your commands are true. God is near. How many know God is near? Even though sometimes, well, you know, I just don't feel, you know, Christians have been Christian for a while, they struggle a little. I just don't feel the Lord like I used to, and I don't feel, you know. And so, you know, God is near. Whether you feel or not, God says he is near. That's what his word says. And so when his word says that, that's exactly what God is. It says, and the Lord's commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes, and you established them to last forever. How many know that God's law lasts forever? God's word lasts forever. It doesn't pass away. You know, you think about it, it never fails. It always accomplishes what it's set out to do. It will never come back void. See, God's already done this. What we cannot do, he did. And so what he has to say is, no matter what you see, no matter what you think, no matter what you feel, I'm still in charge. I created the heavens and the earth. I created you, and what I'm trying to get you to do is learn to listen and then act upon what you're hearing and sensing in your spirit, man. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, Jesus said this. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And that's what I appreciate about God. But he does say this. He said, but you, Harley, and he talks about you guys. He said, but you shall be changed. Ooh. Yeah, at the last trumpet, but long before that, God is going to change us into his image. He's going to do a work. And, you know, you talked about some people, and, you know, it kind of, when you were talking here, it reminded me of somebody that, you know, years ago in my sister's house, she had a little prayer meeting, and she had these ladies there, and she asked, she said, will you come and share the word with us? Yeah, we'll come. We're all excited about the word of God. And so we're down in her basement, and I don't know, she had probably about 12 ladies there, and I'd start talking, and all of a sudden this one lady say, I've been in the way for 35 years. And then she'd start saying things, you know, and then you'd kind of give a little grace, and you just a few more minutes, you just talk some more. I've been in the way for 35 years, she goes, and she starts talking some more. And again, I've been in the way for 35 years. I said, wait a minute. I said, man, I said, sister, she asked me to come and share the word of God. I said, that's the problem. You've been in the way for 35 years. You know, sometimes, you know, you got to learn to listen to God and act upon it. I mean, you know, it's not, you know, it's not Any other thing, he tells us when to be humble and when, you know, that, you know, he says when to be joyful and when to trust in the Lord and how to get through hard times and how to, you know, take off something and put on something different. He teaches us all these things. And so, you know, what he wants us to do is listen, and then he wants us to obey. Amen? And so I don't know about you, I don't want to get in the way. And so I want to read in Psalms 119. I want to get up there at verses 1 through 4 real quick. It says, "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord." Now, I don't know about you, but what God is trying to say is that he has statutes, he has commands, and you know, a lot of things in the Bible, when God says something, it's not a request, it's a command. And even though sometimes we struggle and we're tempted, we're all these here kinds of things, but God wants us to do our best to try. And he was saying, he'll say this: if you do, you're going to be blessed, no doubt about it. If you want a blessing, learn to obey, he says. And I'll tell you, God is a God of blessings. He really is. He's not a God of judgment and just running us down some ragged old path. And then it says, "And those who are blameless, who will walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies and seek him with all their heart." I tell you what, right there, bing. If you were to take the churches across America, let's even stay with the Spirit-filled churches, how many that come to the church on Sunday are seeking God with all their heart? It really gets down to a minute little area of people. And so what he's saying is you want a blessing, but now you have to learn to walk in my steps. You have to learn who I am and what I have. You have to learn a word that will not pass away, a word that can go into the dead. You know, Bobby said the other Wednesday, "I want prayer. I want to be set free of this thing. It's like a nail in the coffin." And so what did God do? I mean, what she did is, you know, said, "I want it now. I don't want to, well, you know, maybe I'll chew 5 packs of gum and then I'll have a patch and then I'll have this and then I'll go to that and then I'll go to this and then maybe I'll go down to maybe 1 or 2 a day and then I'll." She just said, "I want to be set free." And then she, you know, "I want prayer." And so what happened? She got free. She got free. I don't know about you, God has these things, and when we take a step, you know, I mean, well, one might have to fight a little bit, you know? And one, you know, I mean, it isn't exactly the same for everybody, but freedom is something. Jesus said it's for freedom that Christ set you free. It's not to be bound, it's to be free. And so he wants to do a precious thing. Now, in verse 3, it says, "They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways." See, well, you know, God, you know, I'm still learning. You know, I tell you what, being a pastor for 50 years, I've heard it all. Every excuse in the book, I've probably given a whole bunch of myself. You know what I mean? And yet, what he says is, if you will walk, you're going to experience something that you've always wanted. If you'll learn to desire and you begin to learn to do some of these things, God is going to, he's going to bless us. And so, in that verse 4, it says, "You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently." So, God's law, God's precepts, God's word is something that he has ordained. I tell you what, when God ordains it, it's a stamp. I mean, when God said, "Let there be light," what happened? When God said to the water that covered the earth, "Let the water and the land separate," what happened? It separated. So, you know, God wants you to know that his word, if you let it be in you, it has a power that you don't quite understand with your natural mind. And the Holy Spirit helps us to teach us. And every time we obey the Spirit of God in us and we try to work diligently, we find the blessings of God. And so, you know, like I said, there's a difference between those who hear and those who respond. A lot of people hear. We'll get into some of that just a little bit, but not everybody gets it. And so, in Hebrews chapter 4, let's go to the New Testament. Some people don't like the Old Testament, but Jesus fulfilled it. He didn't eliminate it. Hebrews 4, and let's read verses 1 through 3. Therefore, and remember what I said, if it says therefore, find out what it's there for. Don't ever forget that. In the Bible, if it says therefore, find out what it's there for. And it says, let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest. How many want to enter the rest of God? Okay, let's find out what it's there for. His rest. Anyone who may seem to have come short of it. Now, God has a promise that we can enter the rest of God. We can cease from striving. We can cease from trying to have to. I don't know about you, but sometimes people feel like, you know, they almost have to perform. You know, especially even like here comes Thanksgiving and all these things are going to happen and we got to perform. You know, maybe you're the cook. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know what it is. Or maybe you got to go home and try to pretend like everything's okay and you've been going through hell.
Yes.
You don't have to perform. You have to just begin to trust God. You have to just begin to take some steps of faith right where you're at. God wants you to be able to enter it, and if you've come short of it, he still wants you to have it. And he says, for indeed, verse 2, we have all had good news preached to us. I'll tell you what, God's word is good news. It's the good news of the gospel of Jesus. He paid a price. And he made a way for us. And it says, they all had the gospel preached to us, just as they also, but the words they heard did not profit them because they were not united with faith by those who heard. So now you're beginning to see the difference between hearing something and responding to what you hear. You know, why do a lot of people not have what God promises to have? Well, you know, I know that sometimes God comes through in the 11th hour. I've had that happen too many times. And complaining like a trooper the whole time. God, come on, you know. But God always comes through. And he begins to say some things that for those who have believed, in verse 3, for those who have believed entered that rest. Just as he said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. So God has made a rest for the people of God. You know, he talks about this promise that's there. And so there's a lot of things that begin to come into play here. But I want to read in Joel chapter 3 and verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of what? Decision. You mean we got to use our little cranker here. I don't know about you sometimes. I'm telling you, I don't know where I'm at half the time. And then when people come and looking for something, boy, I thought, man, where are they? You know, we just got to get close to Jesus is what we got to get. We got to get the word of the Lord. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Are you or are you not going to hear and do what he says? You know, see, where do a lot of people live in Christianity? Well, I don't know, God, if I'm ready for that today. You know, I've had people say, well, I don't know. I tell you what, how many have received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Ooh, man, I'm telling you what, the Spirit of God is really precious. He wants us to have it. It's a gift from God. You know, it teaches us about him. And I had this person say, well, I don't know if I'm really ready for that yet. Wow. Man, you're ready to go out there and burn a little more. Huh? I mean, you know, just come out. You know, I mean, what do you want? You know, I mean, the Holy Ghost is something that's precious. And yet, so often we are in this valley of decision. What we're going to do, where we're going to go, how we're going to be, you know, I mean, you know, just whether I should do it today. I mean, you know, just, you know, you got all these things going through your mind. And God just wants you to really understand what the Word of God says about some things. And then he wants you to believe that. You know, well, God, I've never done that before. And God would say in your spirit, that doesn't mean you can't. You know that when a person gets filled with the Holy Ghost, how many know there's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit? And everybody, and I mean everybody isn't just going to always have everything. But I want to tell you something. If you got the Holy Ghost, you can flow in any gift of God. Any gift of God. I don't care whether you've been there for one day or 20 years or 35 years, you know. God gives you a giftings, and the Holy Spirit is there. And so it's really important that we begin to not sit in some place at a decision, but we begin to learn to act upon what he says. Yeah, I don't know about you, but here you are sitting there with somebody, and you know, we were pretty new in the Lord, going to Bible school, only been saved for a few months, and we went and visited. I never got an invitation to go to a church. And here we got this invitation to go to a church, Episcopal church. I was going to Bible school 5 days a week, 4 hours a day, working 9 hours, whatever, plus, you know, Thursday night and Sunday and morning, Sunday night services. And all of a sudden, you know, this guy, my dad signed the book. And so the preacher, he went over to my dad's house and he said, you know, he said, who is that guy with you? He said, that's my son. He goes, I seen some life in him. He said, we need life. I mean, man, they were dead as a doornail. I mean, really bad. I'm telling you, they had kegs of beer in the foyer and every other kind of crazy thing. You know, it was a wild place. But I went there and they put me in charge of evangelism first day. And I thought, man, you know, God, he's just amazing. And so then, you know, God, I wanna see some things happen. So just about 4 days in, here's this Native American family and some other people, and they want us to take these youth on this camping thing. Okay. Okay, Lord, we're going to go. We're going to see some kids get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And here I said, God, I want people to pray for. And here this guy is sitting on the other side of the table from me, and he's going. And he's doing this here, you know, and I'm saying, God, I want somebody to pray for. And he must be doing this for 15, 20 minutes. You know, and God says, are you blind? There he is. He's got a cold. Pray for him. So I said, you want to pray for that? He goes, yeah. We walk into that little chapel over there, and I'll tell you what, God came down on him like unbelievable. That guy got saved. We got to baptize 28 of his family up there. And, you know, but it was just, it's a start. You know, God gives us something, and then he wants us to respond, not sit in some valley of decision. You know, I mean, God wants us to be able to believe him for some things so that we can see some things. And then we can begin to grow and go on in some more things of God. I don't know about you. I don't want to stay in the valley of decision. I want to go back to Psalms 119. I want to read this kind of quick because I don't want to spend a lot of time there. But in verses 145, I'm going to read it quick. I cried with all my heart, answer me, O Lord. I will observe your statutes. I don't know about you, but man, I want to tell you something. In the old days, you know, I got arrested, you know, and the cops handcuffed me, and they slammed my head into the side of the car a few times, and they throw me into the back seat, and I'm into the back seat saying, oh, God, if you get me out of this one, I'll serve you. And, you know, he did, and I didn't. And that goes on until, I'm telling you, that goes on until you decide that you're going to make a decision for God. That goes on. And so, you know, God wants us to serve him. And so here I am, you know, answer me. You know, it says, Lord, I will observe your statutes. I cried to you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies. Rise before dawn and cry for help, and I will wait for your words. How many know that people, oh, you know, I like to sleep till 11. That's tomorrow, man. That's tomorrow. There's a lot of things before 11 o'clock. You get up in the morning, you start seeking God in the morning. I want to tell you something. Things are going to start to happen. God wants us, you know, before the sun ever comes up, he says, David said, I sought the Lord. I'll tell you what, there ain't anybody that found him. He not only found the Lord, he found him for his kids and his grandkids, even beyond. And so God's promises are there, but what he's saying is, come on, David, come on. Harley, come on. Mike, respond. Respond. And it says, my eyes anticipated the night watch that I may meditate on your word. Wow. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances. See, God does have a plan, doesn't he? And those who follow after wicked draw near. They are far from the law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Of old I have known from your testimonies that you have found them forever. See, God's word is forever. What you do for God, it is forever. And we got to begin to remember some of these things, just like, you know, that verse 47. We need to, you know, God says, if you'll get up and make some special time, I'm going to make some special blessing. If you get up and begin to know me and know my word, and you begin to learn how to take steps, you say, I'm gonna guide you into things that are beyond your imagination. And so God wants you to know that, you know, we're not limited. Calling out to God, as we look in the Psalms, is something that God wants us to learn, how to call out on God. God wants us to learn that. Call out on the Lord. And so it's really important that we do these things. I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 4, I'm not going to get into all these things, but he talks about the Sabbath rest, and he talks about some things in there that, you know, that he had fixed a day that he wants people to set aside. You know, a lot of times people just don't set much time aside for God. There's no special day. There's no, I mean, you know, like I said, where has America gone? Down the tubes. Why? There used to be a day where the whole nation would honor God. There used to be a day where nobody could do anything because God's law. And I want to tell you something. We were blessed. We were a blessed nation. We sent more things around the world than anybody else. Now they got to send stuff to us because, I mean, you know, it's just a basket case. And so God wants us, you know, I mean, I'll tell you what. If you don't think that God wants you to have a Sabbath day and to honor, you know, the family of God and some of that stuff, there's a mistake in you. You see, God wants us to come together. He wants us to love one another, help one another, but he wants us to honor God. There's special days for him. And if we make them special, what does he promise? Wow, that's right. So, you know, so if I, well, you don't got to go to church to be saved. I've heard that 1,000 times. You don't have to go to church to be saved. But I want to tell you something. God has something in the body of Christ. When you've been born again, which everyone has to do or you don't see the kingdom of God, you've been born into the family of God. What good is a family you never see? What good is a family that can never help you or could care less about you? You understand? And so what happens is God knows that the family of God is a precious thing and that when the body begins to use its gifts, it has more ability than anyone could ever imagine. Because if I miss something, you got it. If you miss something, someone else has got it. And so here we are, God, filled with your presence, with your word, with encouragement. And Lord, let no one get out of here without being able to get something from you. We pray in the name of Jesus. That's why that clinker came. He was talking to some lady, and some lady said, yeah, I went over to Redemption Ministry. She said, he goes, Redemption? He said, who pastors that? She said, oh, I don't know, Swart out. He goes, Swart, what's his first name? Well, I don't know, she said. Harley? Yeah. He goes, it's Harley. And so he was here today. Man, I'll tell you what, it was fun to see him, you know, because you lose track of people you love because the world gets busy. And we all get engaged, and yet God don't want us to lose track of one another. You know, at least he wants us to be able to send a little word out, a little encouragement out, a little, you know, hey, you're doing a good job, or if you need prayer or any kind of thing. So here's something that I want to just, not only do we set things aside for the Lord, but a question. And you want to answer it in your own self, but Are you experiencing God's rest in your life right now? Are you experiencing God's rest? We got a lot of crazy things going on all the time. Like I said, in the morning I had more things going on in India, but God makes a way. It's just amazing. And I sit there and I got all these things going on, and I know I got to come and I got to spend the whole day and I got to cook because no one else showed up and all these here kind of things. But I'm sitting there on there and I look at my watch and it tells me my heartbeat is 51 and my stress level is 11. That's lower than low. And that's because God's got it. You know, I can't do these things. I mean, if God don't got it, heck. You know, a long time ago, we've never gone around looking for money or doing any kind of things in all the years that we've done missions and all these things. I just said, God, in the day that it's not there, I'm just going home. I don't get to go home that much. And God always makes a way. And it ain't like he's just dumping things in your lap and like you don't work for it. But, God is a God that's faithful. He's always faithful. And so are you experiencing God's rest? And if we're not experiencing God's rest, we're all wore out. I think what he's trying to say is stop trying to control your world. Stop trying to be, like the brother said, the pilot. Jesus was never meant to be a co-pilot. You were never meant to be the ruler of the universe. And so God has something for us. And, sometimes it's just sit, shut up, and be still. Wow. That's hard. And yet, how many know that if we'll do it, we're going to find a blessing from God? We're going to find something called peace, and God's going to begin to warm our heart. But we begin to experience God's rest. And God, God, he promises that if we'll trust him. What was that song? God can do only what he can do. I don't remember how exactly it goes. Only do what he can do. I don't remember that. But there's things that only God can do. Only God can do. And so, here we are, and we're singing it, and then we're thinking about all the things we got to do and what we need to do. And only God can do some of these things that we need. And so what he wants us to do is just take a little bit of special time and be with him and let God begin to write some things in our heart and our mind so that he can actually lower our blood pressure, set us free, do all these things that we need within our life, do a work. It's kind of amazing because when we control things, it just doesn't work that well. And, Brian... He was really funny when he preached. He said, he was all frustrated with the church, and he said, I'd be a good preacher, right? He said, if it wasn't for you guys out there. Man, I felt that before, man. I felt that, because you get tired, you carry burdens, you do things, and I don't know about you, but one of the guys said, Harley, you're like a bull in a china cabinet. You're like a driver, And I want to tell you something. You try to get everybody in New York. We're trying to get everybody to get on board, and I was starting to get frustrated. Yeah, you understand? I mean, because some of them were doing really good, and some of them weren't doing nothing, and so I was getting frustrated over the people doing nothing. And I wanted to push them, and I wanted to push them, and they weren't doing nothing. I keep pushing them, and they ain't doing nothing. And I'm getting frustrated. So here I am, standing on a subway train, on a platform. And in New York, you can get anywhere. You can get anywhere by buses and the subways. And when they pull in, they have a marking, L train or double L or R train or whatever it is, And so here I'm standing there, and I'm frustrated, you see. And all of a sudden, this train pulls in. And it doesn't have any markings. And I got, it's got to be the right train. So I get on this thing and I'm sitting there. Well, is this going to get me where I want to go? And did I get on the right train? I'm thinking, you know, and all of a sudden I hear this voice. Harley, that's what I want you to do. I want you to mark the train. And then he says, I want you to work with them that want to go. And he said, if people want to get on and ride a few stops, let them get on. If they want to get off, maybe they'll want to get on again later. But don't get all frustrated. Work and spend your time blessing those that want to go. And I'll tell you what, that was freedom for me. I didn't have to say, you're the reason why I'm not a good pastor anymore. You're the reason I'm frustrated. You see? And so, you see, there's a difference between hearing and doing. And God wants us to be able to do. You know, there's a lot of stories. I have to tell you, maybe one anyway, too. But, you know, there's some things that... there's a way to find rest, honestly, and that really is listening to God, his promises, and then believing them and then living them out in obedience. Now, many people, like I said, they hear the gospel, but the most important decision of our life is whether we'll respond in belief. I'll tell you, God can ask you to do some crazy things sometimes, but when we went to New York, I went with little kids, my wife and a couple other people in a bus that wasn't worthy to go across the walk. But we went out to New York, and God was just doing things. And, you know, there's this building, and it was abandoned. I mean, it was not abandoned, but it was gutted, and it was a big old post office sitting right in a just really. And as I'm walking by, the Lord says, "That's your building." Wow. You know, they've ripped all the pipes and the wires out of it, and I mean, you name it, that's your building. That's nice, you know. And then I tell them, these guys, hey, I feel God is telling us that's our building. They're looking at me like, you're nuts. And, you know, here we're living in a bus, drawing water out of a fire hydrant, don't have nothing. And you know, find out who owns this building, and we all go down there. And it's kind of funny because the guy, he's a multi-millionaire Jew. He owns skyscrapers in Manhattan, 11, 13 stories. And his office is on the 11th story of this one building. And so we go up there, and I tell him, I want to get this building. He says, that's fine. We'll write a contract out. You give me $5,000 down, and you fix it. You do whatever, and it's this much per month, And he goes on to say these things, and I mean, I had $150 in my pocket. And so, you know, he says, okay, you know, and I'm looking at him, I'm trying to talk him into letting us have the building. He said, you come up with this, and you can have it. And so, you know, the guy kind of grabs my arm a little bit. He's got two big pinkies, you know, these Italian dudes that, you know, they're the mobber guys, and they said, well, it's time to go. He's done. And so, you know, they escort us, you know, and we get on the elevator. We go down to the main road in Manhattan, and all of a sudden the Lord says, now I want you to go back in my strength because you just went up there in yours. I want you to offer him $150 and tell him I want the key now. I'm looking at my wife and these guys, and I'm going, do me a favor. What's that? Stay here. I didn't want to embarrass myself in front of them. I went back up there, and the guy, one of that big old dudes, says, what do you want? I want to talk to Shilsky. He said, Shilsky, I already told you. He said, we'll see you. I said, I want to talk to Shilsky. He goes, you ain't getting in to talk to Shilsky. I said, I want to talk to Shilsky. And he could hear. He's in his office. He said, let him come in here. I said, I got $150 in my pocket. I want the key now. He goes, give him the key. So now we got a burnt out, gutted building and no money. None. But I tell you what, God was still God. And if you don't obey, you're never going to, I mean, God starts in simple things. I understand you're not going to be crazy. You know, that was just a blessing from God to be able to be crazy to begin with. And so God wants us to know that we can trust him. And even if we are wrong, you never quit. You never stop. You keep on doing these things. And God begins to be God. I want to tell you, that church was just, it was a miraculous thing. I mean, we'd have 40-some men on their knees on a sidewalk praying, and on there to get on the knees on the sidewalk and pray and ask Jesus to come into life, repent. God did things that you wouldn't believe. I mean, I'll tell you some stories sometime of all the doors that God opened through that. And even that building, you know, it's kind of funny because I believe God gave us that building. And he wouldn't give it to us. He said, I give to, you know, he gives to his temple. And I said, well, I feel God gave us that. And he goes, well, that's good, you know. And long story short, we end up getting another building, nice big factory building. And that building was never used for probably 26, 27 years. No one ever went into it because they didn't do what God said to do. You know, it's amazing how long after Schulzky was dead, someone else did something with that building. I don't know what they did, but it would have been better if they would have gave it to us. Well, here we go. God wants us to obey his word, doesn't he? And so, you know, the promises of God, you know, he says to everyone who believes in verse 1, we see that. He said, therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, anyone may seem to have come short of it. God doesn't want anyone to come short. Goes down to that verse 3 and it says, for we who have believed enter that rest, just as he said. I don't know about you, but it takes something in order to enter the rest of God. You know, if you're still wondering whether you should go to church or not go to church or be committed to anything or get up in the morning and read your Bible, you're still struggling in the valley of decision. And God wants us to get beyond the valley of decision. He wants us to get into a place where I want you to hear my voice, and then I want you to respond to what I'm telling you as an individual. And he promises that we can be blessed and we can enter his rest, and a lot of the turmoil in our life will begin to disappear and fade away. And so we see that, you know, in the Bible it talks about how his word is living and it's active. The Bible says his word is living and it's active. Okay, God, where does your word live? Where does his word live? It lives in us. It's supposed to live in us. It's supposed to be a living, abiding word. It's supposed to be something that goes before us, and it's on our tongue. And we don't let the Sunday school be the only ones that try to teach our kids. And you know, as when we stand and we walk, we acknowledge God. And God begins to gift us into things that, you know, I don't know about you, but he wants to see some ambassadors of Christ that have a confidence and know how to use the name of Jesus that's above every name. And so, what we really need to do, honestly, we got to get into his word. If you know, he promises that if we get into his word is going to get into us. See, that's a promise. That's an exciting promise. And then it says, and it will create what it was performed to do. You know, my dad, he was that 35-year drunk laying on the couch. Hated his guts. And I couldn't figure out the Bible. Like I said, I'm sitting on the edge of the couch, and he's there, and I'm reading. You know, he said, if you had faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to that mountain, be cast into the sea. And I look at him, man, that's so stupid. I asked my mom, I said, how can anybody be so ridiculous as to want a mountain cast into the sea? And she goes, he's just talking about faith. And then my daddy goes, oh, he rolls over. And then something said, there's your mountain, mountain of trouble all your life. And then it said, speak to the mountain. So I did. I spoke to it. I spoke to it in the name of Jesus. I said, I know you don't want to be this way. Jesus set me free. Pray with me. And in a drunken stupor, he prayed, never took another drink. Ended up going to Bible school, being one of the best dads and best husbands you ever, because God's word says, old things pass away, all things become new. And he became a new man, I'm telling you. I used to tell stories in the church that we had over there about my dad, and they wouldn't believe me. I said, what, do you think I'm a liar? No, your dad never did that. Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. But we're all new in Christ. God sets us free. God does things. He puts the past in the past, and then he makes us new. And I don't know about you, I'm excited about the new things. God wants us to be able to enter that rest, right? He created it. And so how do you enter his rest? I don't know. You enter it by calling out to the Lord. You enter it through prayer. And, you know, when we begin to feel wound up, that's when God wants us to begin to enter his rest and give it to him. You see, I don't know, the world wants to wind us up at this time. He wants us, you know, I mean, I don't know, he wants us to get all these crazy little thoughts in our mind. And yet God wants us to trust. You know, he promises that he'll pour out his spirit, what? Upon us. And so, I don't know about you, rather than getting all caught up in, you know, CNN and all these crazy things, and I know God's plan is just being unfolded. And God wants us to be a part of that plan in a mighty way, not just some little way. And so he talks about in Hebrews 11:1. Talks this. He said, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So what is faith? It's assurance. It's being sure. I'm sure of who Jesus is and what he's done. I'm sure that even though I don't know everything, that God has a plan for me. God wants to change my life. He wants to do things in my life that nobody can do. He wants to give me things that no man, no woman, no money can give. God wants to do these things in our life. It's the assurance of things. It's a sure thing. It's not a maybe. You know, when we talk about hope, you know, there's a biblical hope, and then there's an American hope. You know what hope is in American? I think it will. So maybe it might, so it won't. But hope, in the Greek, is expecting. I expect God. You know, whether we have an ability or a knowledge, God is able, and he wants to use us. Amen? Praise God. We're gonna pray for Bobby and anybody else that's having a little bit of struggle physically in their body. If you want a touch from God. See, God wants to encourage us. He wants us, as we begin to believe, God, I call out to you, do that work in me. Oh, okay. Okay, God says, I'm going to do a little writing on your heart. Oh, come on, only the Holy Spirit can do that. Man can't do that. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Amen? Praise God. Well, you want to play just a little tiny bit up there? And we're going to have the front open, you know. If maybe you've never been entering God's rest a little, maybe you want to just talk to God a little bit. If you need hands laid on you and some prayer, we're gonna lay hands on you and pray for you. Thank you, Lord. I got the oil in my office. I don't know if you want to get it. We don't have to, but we can. Come on up here. You're free in the name of Jesus.